Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Friday, July 24th, 2020. I'm Beckler. Shauna is away. She's gone for the next, like she said, 11 days or something, visiting her family in Ontario. I floated the Bow River with my family yesterday. We had a beautiful day until the tornado warning and the hail came in. But luckily, we had gotten off the river 30 minutes before all that happened. But that was one of the last things on my summer 2020 bucket list. Do you ever make a list at the beginning of the summer? I don't have like a physical list. I just had this idea of things that I wanted to do this summer. And that was one of them, to float the river with my family, because McKenna and the boys had never been on the river. And they loved it. It's such a relaxing and fun way to spend an afternoon. Last thing on my bucket list this summer is to do an overnight hike, an overnight backpacking trip, maybe even just one night. And I think I'm going to do that in a couple of weeks if everything works out. But that river float is where we start the podcast today.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
My family floated the Bow River yesterday, and I insisted that we only listen to river-themed songs while we were out there. And as a result, I have compiled here my top 5 river boat floating songs. Actually, I think there's 6 here. Top 6 river boat floating songs. Your river floating playlist. And before anyone mentions it, you will notice the conspicuous absence of Billy Talent's River Below. It's a great song, just too aggressive for the actual river. A river float is supposed to be a relaxing affair. So with that in mind, we start at number 6. Bishop Briggs, River. Great song. Number 5. Down by the river, I shine my baby. What's an outdoor activity in Canada with some Neil Young? Without some Neil Young, I should say. Although that one is about killing your lover, so the mood isn't right. Number 4. The Al Green original of this song is excellent, but I went with the Talking Heads version. Because it's more chill than the original, and chill is what we're after. Number 3. Rolling, rolling, rolling on a river. And again, you'll notice that's the CCR version, not the Tina Turner version, because Tina cranks it up too much. We're trying to chill here. Number 2, Great Big Sea.
No, I'm a river driver, and I'm far away from home.
There just aren't enough songs about driving logs, are there? In fact, I can only think of one other. And the number 1 river floating song, the OG of riverboat floating songs.
Oh, man, river, but oh, man, river.
It's old, but you get yourself in a good river valley where this one echoes off the cliffs, and oh, you're having yourself a time out there.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Okay, there's this insane property for sale in Richmond, BC. It's listed at $8.8 million, and the house isn't even built yet. The house is started. You got to finish construction if you buy this, and the footprint of this house is already 10,000 square feet. But what you're paying for is the land. 10 acres of it that the owner has spent $2 million landscaping so far. It has a pond shaped like a swan. It has a racetrack. Outbuildings for animals. What do you think the property taxes on a place like this will be? $364 per year. You heard that correctly. It's a residence that's going to be worth 8 figures when it's finished, and it will pay only $364 per year in taxes. And the reason for this, I guess, is that BC has some loophole where if a property has farm status, it pays almost no property tax. So some rich dude buys this place, throws a horse in the backyard, plants some potatoes, and he's now tax exempt. There's this growing sentiment right now, particularly among young people on the left. Eat the rich. Capitalism is evil. Billionaires shouldn't exist. I don't really agree with that. I think if someone can make a lot of money, go nuts. But everyone's got to pay their fair share, right?
And I think this is just one small example of how wealthy folks can dance around taxes. No one's going to volunteer to pay more taxes than they have to, myself included, but most of us aren't hiding money in other countries. Most of us aren't running shell companies or calling our backyard a farm. Maybe we could solve a few of our problems and leave the rich uneaten if we started there.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Maybe someone could help me out here. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with my youngest son, Brigham, who is 3. We're going to run some Brigham diagnostics here. He's making this weird sound, like, continuously. That's the sound right there. I'll give you another listen. I took a recording of him watching Peppa Pig yesterday. He just sits there and makes this sound. It's like a gasp. And it doesn't seem to be related to his breathing. I've like listened and he seems to be breathing just fine. And then when you say, Brigham, why are you making that noise? He just kind of laughs and keeps doing it. So I don't know if it's like a habit, like a tick. I'm sure that whatever's happening in Peppa Pig isn't gasp worthy, or at least continuous gasp worthy, but like, what is that? What's that sound? You take him out in public and people look at us like, is your kid okay? And we're like, well, we think so. We're not sure, though. So any help you have, I'd appreciate.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
There were some viral images out of Vancouver from earlier this week that had people pretty upset. There was a large crowd gathered on a beach there, well over 100 people, packed in basically shoulder to shoulder, nobody wearing masks or anything. And the purpose of this gathering is just about the most Vancouver thing you've ever heard. Not a protest. That's where my mind went, too. A drum circle. A bunch of hippies in the sand playing bongos, congas, djembes, probably a few cajones in there as well. Can I make a confession? I hate drum circles. And I'm not talking about ceremonial drum circles. I'm talking about a bunch of people around a fire or whatever making a bunch of noise. Half of them are playing in their own world. They're nowhere near the rhythm. And I think as a drummer, it bothers me when a crowd claps out of time with the band, let alone a few dozen hippies with hand drums and of varying levels of sobriety. It's chaos. It's absolute chaos. The group that organizes these drum circles every Tuesday, which is way too frequently, is called Brahms Toms, which is a great name. I'll give them that. But they denied responsibility. They said that they canceled the events in March at the start of the pandemic until the rules allowed them to gather again. But the hippies came anyway. You know, when the rhythm in your soul is that strong, it just draws you in, I guess. I've read that group percussion can have therapeutic benefits, and that's great. I hope it works for those people. I will not be participating. Nor would I even admit that I caught COVID because I violated distancing rules to participate in a hippie drum circle that just couldn't wait.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
So baseball started yesterday, which is just excellent, and there are a whole whack of games today. There was 4 teams that played yesterday and then a whole bunch more playing today, which is great news. But yesterday at the Yankees-Nationals game in Washington, something kind of cool happened before. They played a video clip from a group called the Players Alliance. And the Players Alliance describes themselves as more than 100 black current and former professional baseball players united to use our collective voice and platform to create increased opportunities for the black community in every aspect of our game and beyond. And then both teams took a knee before the anthem for a moment, in a show of solidarity. Quite a few players also took batting practice in Black Lives Matter apparel. And it's kind of a big deal because baseball historically doesn't make these kind of statements. Now, the part I want to talk about is that I've seen several sources report the act of kneeling as being, quote, in defiance of Donald Trump, which it just isn't true. Like, to me, that's a deliberate attempt to get people fired up and to get clicks. It's true that the president has expressed his disdain for when athletes kneel during the anthem in the past, but like there was no mention of Donald Trump in the video that was shown or from any of the athletes yesterday or anything. It was about what the players said it was about, supporting the black community in baseball and beyond. And I think by twisting this act of solidarity into primarily a middle finger to Donald Trump, it's doing two things. The first, it's ascribing intent to players when you don't know what's in their hearts. It's quite likely there were Donald Trump supporters among the guys kneeling yesterday. And we can argue about how it's contradictory to support your black teammates and Donald Trump at the same time. But again, we don't know what's in that person's heart, so we shouldn't ascribe intent to them. And secondly, it takes away from the true meaning of the act of kneeling, of the act of solidarity. It's not about one man who's going to be done in November or 4 years from November. It's about, like they said, all of the black people in baseball and outside of baseball who have been dealing with this for many years.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
As you know, we don't talk about Donald Trump much on this show because the world just seems saturated with that guy. But I think there are people right now who kind of see him everywhere. No matter what happens, good or bad, they think Donald Trump did this. That's got to be an odd way to live, hey? It seems pretty exhausting. I also think there are people who think that all of their problems are going to go away if he gets voted out in November, which looks like it might happen. He's trailing by, 15 points according to most polls, and perhaps you don't trust the polls, but I think those people are going to be disappointed if he gets voted out and their problems don't immediately vanish. I'm not the first to say this, but I've said it before. He's a symptom of the problem rather than the problem itself, and I think real conversation needs to happen on these topics, but it's near impossible. You know, with the partisan news media landscape and Twitter, oh my God, Twitter is such a dumpster fire. As one of my favorite commentators, Sam Harris, says, he's got a great podcast too. He says, we have to turn down the temperature on these conversations and try to find some common ground and some humanity in the people that we disagree with, but not enough people seem willing to do that.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Shauna's away today and next week, which means that my wife McKenna has offered to help lighten the workload of this show by writing the news, or at least her version of the news, what she thinks you need to know about. Let's see what she's got today. McKenna's
X92.9 News.
I just glanced over this and it might be her worst one yet. Okay. Magnetic lashes seem to be all the rage right now. This is our top story. If you don't know what they are already, this will blow your mind. You use magnetic lash glue and you put it on the base of your lash line and you let it dry for a couple of minutes and then apply the lashes. The problem is that some are made with very toxic products that are not good to put on your skin. Doesn't seem like something you would want to put on your body. And then she tries to plug her own lash business here, which we're not going to do. Moving on, Go Clean Co. is a popular Instagram account that is based here in Alberta. It features cleaning tricks and videos for around your home. Some of the stuff she is cleaning is so dirty, and I wonder why you would keep posting videos about your dirty home and how is it getting that dirty in the first place. And finally, Princess Beatrice got married last week. Funny we didn't hear about it. Seems like she kind of got ripped off since she's not a candidate for the throne. But throne is spelt here as in how you throw a ball. Look at Harry and William's wedding. It was all over the news and magazines. This is the first time I've ever heard about her, other than the time she and her sister looked exactly like the evil stepsisters at one of her cousin's weddings. Did anyone know about this? She wore the same tiara as the queen at her small private COVID ceremony. This seems like something should have been a bigger deal. And now you're informed, I guess.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Yesterday, Shauna mentioned the phrase, beer before liquor, never been sicker. Liquor before beer, you're in the clear. You've heard that one, right? Well, it's a myth. There's no evidence at all to support that, and that's what we were talking about. And in fact, I was doing some reading last night. There was a study done last year where they had a group consume drinks in different orders and assess their hangovers based on something called the acute hangover scale, which is a real thing. I didn't know that. I also looked at it, and I didn't really understand it, so you might have to look into that one for yourself. But they found that the order of drinks consumed made no difference. There are so many myths about alcohol. I found several lists debunking some of the most common ones, like eating a big meal before drinking can lessen your hangover. Have you heard that one? You get a base layer down there to soak up the booze? I guess that's not true either. Like, food can slow your body's absorption of the alcohol, but if you put back six drinks, you're still going to process six drinks over the course of the night. Or how about this one? Eating before bed can reduce your hangover. Again, that's not really true. The only thing that I've found that really helps prevent a hangover that you can do the night before is drinking a bunch of water before you go to bed, because then at least you're going to get out in front of the dehydration the next day. Here's my favorite alcohol myth of all, though, and I don't know if any research has been done on this, but I don't believe it, and I never have. The idea that whiskey makes me angry, or that different types of alcohol results in different types of drunks. Like, alcohol is alcohol. I think it's far more likely that someone who gets angry after drinking whiskey probably has some anger in there to begin with. You know, maybe the rate at and state of mind in which a person consumes alcohol varies by type. Like, you tend to sip a beer more than you throw back shots of another type of liquor. But like, the outcome is going to be based on expectation. If you think you're going to get angry and then you drink a bunch of whiskey and you get angry, like, isn't that kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. The whiskey didn't make that guy violent. He was already violent, and he used the whiskey as permission.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I want to read you this message I got from a friend of the show yesterday. It's a little bit heartbreaking. Her name is Karen, and before you react to the name or to the meme, I don't think this is the kind of Karen you're thinking of. She's a lovely lady, always messages us to talk about whatever we're talking about, and yesterday she wanted to know where she could hear the full conversation we had with Mayor Nenshi. And the way our text system works here at the station is that it allows us to enter your name in our, like, kind of like our contacts. So if we know your name, then we know who we're talking to when we text back and forth. So we had her saved in our contacts as Karen. So I sent her the clip and said, here's the clip for you, Karen. And she replied, thank you for still being kind to me, even with the Karen meme being a thing. Like, as if people haven't been treating her well because of her name. And that's part of the reason I think I'm kind of burnt out on the Karen meme myself. One, because too many people are using it. When the entire internet starts making the same jokes and talking about the same things, I've always found myself kind of going in the other direction. I'm thinking about, like, The Dress or Bodie McBoatface or even Tiger King recently. Like, when everybody is talking about it, then I find myself not interested in it. I don't know, it's being a contrarian or... But two, because unlike Terry, who we love Terry, Karen is always an insult, always. Apparently, it also has racial undertones. I didn't know this, but last week, a local brewery got in trouble for releasing a beer that played on the Karen meme, and they were accused of making light of racism, and I wasn't aware that there were any racial connotations to the Karen meme, but I guess there are. And three, the third reason I'm done with the Karen meme, because good women, like our friend of the show, Karen, and even my own mom, are getting dragged for no reason. These memes are painful. Memes are violence.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I was talking to my mom in Saskatoon yesterday. There's this place to get ice cream downtown there, and it's kind of like a local landmark, I guess. It's a double-decker bus, an old British double-decker bus, but you get ice cream out of it in the summer. But my mom was saying that they won't let you near the window or to handle the machine or anything because of COVID-19. So you have to yell your order from a ways back. And, like, this is a busy spot. So there's lots of people around. And you got to be there. Like, what can we get for you? Like, I'll get a double scoop cone of Rocky Road, please. Like, if you had any social anxiety, that would not be the place for you, because you got to shout in front of all these people. And then here's the best part. They yell back with the total and whether or not you would like to leave a tip, which is really awkward. Like, there's only one answer to that, and it's yes, a generous tip. Like, you have to. Everyone's standing there looking at you. You can't be like, it's $3.25, and will you be leaving a tip today? No.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
We have another addition to our Fortune 500 list of companies, local businesses with great puns for names. This was from friend of the show, Taylor Bryant. Landscaping companies seem to really be in on the puns. They're not taking themselves too seriously, and I love that. You've probably seen a few lawn orders around town. The Lawn Father. Could probably even count the Weed Man if we wanted. What else? My mom said one of her favorite stores, Long Tall Sally, is going out of business. So Lawn Tall Sally is ripe for the picking. But this one from Taylor, it's an arborist company. They'll trim your trees, and they're called the Branch Manager. Hello, I'd like to speak to the Branch Manager, please. It's an arborist company. That's great.
You've been listening to the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.